you stumble, that's a shame that you're walking. Amen. And the master there to pick you back up again. You know. When you fall, he goes with you. And if he's there to pick you back and encourage you. You know, the devil's there to lie to you, telling you to stay down. You all got friends telling you to stay down, don't you? You got friends saying, give up. That's what Jesus says. The devil's a liar. Amen. Amen. He is. Some of you this morning, you had to go through a lot of hurdles to get here this morning. You got to fight your own self. You got to fight your flesh. Every reason in the world not to come today came to you. To keep you away from the presence of the Lord. But I'm telling you, it's in His presence. You know, the scripture said we will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And this morning, His spirit and your spirit coming together. That's what it is. I mean, that's why you see us just sitting like, oh. The spirit that God deposited in us when we got born again is, man, is reconciling with His spirit. And it just is like a flushing system. It just brings a peace over you. All the frustrations you had all week, all the things that was coming against you. Oh. Like Ryan was saying, the Lord speaking to Ryan, hey, open the door, love. Let me love you. Man, it's beautiful. Yeah. And we're going to break bread this morning, you know. Jesus wants us to do this in remembrance of Him. When you look at the Last Supper, as we call it, last time Master sat with His disciples and broke bread.
That's what I typed up.
He said, I want you to do this in remembrance of me. Remember, those around the table there, not one of them bought a ticket for the dinner, did they? No. It was sat up. A free dinner, a free gathering for the Passover. And Jesus knew that in the days it was coming, that they're going to have frustrations, there's going to be temptations, there's going to be, I mean, their whole world is going to be turned upside down. Think of that. Can you imagine sitting there with Jesus for a moment? And things have been pretty cool, you know? I mean, they had some people taunting them and stuff, you know, but for the last couple, 3 years, they've been pretty decent, you know? Watching these miracles taking place, and I mean, pulling coin out of a fish's mouth. I mean, that's awesome. I mean, I bet Peter went down there every day trying to find another coin, you know. But you know, and they're sitting around the table breaking bread, and Jesus is sharing with them, and he's trying to tell them. He's always tried to tell them up to this point what's going to take place, what's going to happen to him, you know. But he let me, you know, 24 hours, he knew it was going to be upside down. And he knew they needed to be encouraged in the weeks and the years. And for you today, 2,000 years later, to be encouraged. So he took the bread, he broke it, and he passed it around. He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Eat of this. Took that cup. He said, man, this represents my blood. It's a sign of the new everlasting covenant. Drink of this. Man, that was cool. 24 hours later, man, he was crucified. He died. But you remember that he died. Willingly laid his life down for you and me. They buried him. They buried him in a tomb. He was there 3 days. And then he did exactly what he said he was going to do. Exactly what was prophesied thousands of years earlier. The Holy Spirit came upon him and boom, he raised up from the grave. He went to hell. He went to hell and took back the keys. Did he not? He overcame hell, death, and the grave for you and me. He overcame that, okay? And now listen, it's a free gift given to you and me. Amen? Remember that you cannot buy it. You cannot work hard enough. You cannot be good enough. You can't know, brother, it's a free gift. And that stumbling you're going on, that's to show them that you're walking. Understand that. It's a free gift given to us. Oh, when you fall, you feel bad. Oh, man, I blew it again. We all say that, right? Because we don't want to fall. We don't want to fail, right? But he loves us knowing that we're going to fail him. That's what he had to get through our heads. Hey, I'm not Jesus. I'm his follower. I want to be like him. Like Carol was saying there, you know, he's changing me. Okay? I'm a new person. I'm a new person stuck in the old equipment. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, amen. It is, you know. But this old equipment is going to be like this. You know? But it's me inside of me. My soul, my spirit is changing more like him. And last time I spring back up again. A free gift for us. And we've been sharing that the last couple, 3 weeks. We have to get in our minds. It's what he did for us. And that way, when you fall, you get back up quick and you don't keep your mouth shut. Remember, God wants your mouth. And somebody, he got a good deal. I'm down here. But he does. He wants you to speak the truth to those around us. Think of that. Soon, very soon he's coming. The Master rose up from the grave, went to heaven, gave us his authority, gave us the blood of Christ to plead the blood and the word to speak. I tell you right now, anyone in here, I don't care, you might be the biggest drug user in this place right now. You might be the biggest people, whatever it is, Satan is scared of you. I want to understand, he is scared to death of you. Because he knows in Jeremiah 29:11, he has written that God knows the plans he has for you. Those plans are not to harm you, but to prosper you, to watch over you. An awesome plan for you. And the devil's scared that you're going to find that out. He's a liar. He's trying to keep you wrapped up right now, saying you can't do it. He's a liar. I'm telling you what. He's afraid of you. And this word of God's spoken into you, and you grab hold of that word of God, I'm telling you what, your life has changed like that. And he don't want to set you free. Understand that. Have you ever tried to get set free from something? You know, I declare today, boom. Simple this way. Ed, I'm on a diet today. I'm going to start a diet today. I'm done with it. My body, the temple of the living God, I'm going to get it in shape. Amen?
Amen.
And then tomorrow, who shows up? Somebody brings a dozen donuts. Why? Yeah, because he don't want to. He don't see me in shape. You know what I'm saying? Now, don't leave here thinking donuts are simple, okay? But I'm saying, when we make determine we're going to do something, he'll do whatever he can, Satan, to try to trip you up, because he knows, man, if you get a hold of the truth and you stand on that truth, man, your mouth is going to take the truth to your friends and your neighbors and your loved ones, your enemies, and you're a great, great weapon. You are already that weapon. But he's trying to suppress you. He's trying to keep you down. He's a liar. I'm telling you what, he is a liar. Man. But God sent his son to redeem us from our sins. Think of this. We're going to break bread here in a moment. Not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus has done. And again, to emphasize to each one of you how important you are. You know, there's local clubs in town. There's Moose and Eagles and the Elks, Groundhogs and Chipmunks, or whatever the groups are, okay? But they're private clubs, okay? And years ago, I used to belong to the Eagles, I think it was. But anyway, you go in, you get a membership, and you go in there and vote. VFW is another one, okay? The private clubs, you know. And so you have to get a membership in order to get through that door. You know, and you got this little card thing, you know. And, well, that or carry a badge and you're in a raid to place, either way, okay? But you get this card, become a member. And it allows me to go into that building. It allows me to sit around their table when they vote on things. I have the authority to stand up and say, listen, I object to that. You know, we're going to do it this way. Okay, I'm in charge now and have all my own ways. Do it all my way. Because I'm in charge. But then what happens? My membership expires. I go up the door. I try to get my card in the door. I can't get in. I no longer have the authority. I don't have the right to go inside that building. But Fernando goes. So I call him, hey, listen, man, I can't get in there anymore. I don't have that card. It's illegal for me to enter that place now. I got arrested for trespassing. But listen, they're going to vote. They're going to vote tomorrow on a new secretary of our club. And I want you to make sure. Let me make sure that Fred gets it. You vote for Fred, understand that? I need you to vote for me, understand? I can't vote for him. I need you to do it. Right? So I'm still having authority in that club. I just can't be there physically, right? And Fernando go in there and vote and start to become the new secretary and I'll get the kickbacks. But I'm saying that to show how important you are. Jesus had authority upon this earth in a physical body. He had to come in the physical body because God gave flesh and blood the charge of this earth. He could not come in any other way. He couldn't just walk down in the spirit and take over things because he'd be going against God. He had to come in the physical. He came in the physical. He lived for 33 and a half years. He shared for 3.5 years of his ministry. All that he had, the power and authority he has. And he defeated Satan and hell and the grave. And he came against sickness and disease. All this. Boom, boom, boom. I mean, the Bible says, I think John, that the Bible cannot hold all the miracles that Jesus did in 3.5 years. Impossible. He come to do what he wanted to do. Then he's sitting right hand of the Father now. But he still wants influence in this world. But he can't do it himself. Why? But he don't have that card anymore. That card was flesh and blood. Okay? He's a spirit. Now he rose from the grave in a spirit body. Now one miracle took place after Christ rose from the grave. He lost that authority. He poured all that into the disciples. Here, 2,000 years later, here we are. We are with the same authority that Christ gave the original. We have that same authority. That's how important you are. I didn't say how perfect you are. How important you are. Flesh and blood with the Spirit of God in you. Have got more power than any atomic bomb you ever come across or nuclear bomb. It was us that he wants to use. I hear a lot of people say, man, I wish God would do something. Duh. He wants to, but he needs to use us. I even posted one the other day. I thought, wow, it really is not. It was God protected children. And as soon as I posted it, God said, no, you guys protect them. I'll give you authority. I'll give you a country. I'll give you the ability. I need you to protect my kids. Oh, wow. Yes. That's how important you are. Think of that. I mean, don't be ashamed of them. And don't think that you're not important. Don't be afraid to share the gospel. I know last week we talked about, if you're here last week, we went through what we call the Roman Road. Anybody here last week? Remember that? Middle of the week, we were at Walmart. And I ran into a fellow I went to school with, hadn't seen him in 50 years. And we're in the bread aisle talking. And he's on the wrong road. Has been. Never been to church before. Has no need for God. But when he's willing to go to church, it would make his girlfriend happy. As soon as she gets out of prison. My heart broke for him. This guy had it all at one time. Living in his car now. Got wrapped up in the drug world, drug scene. My heart broke for him. And so what I started doing, I started ministering to him. Every time we do, Satan would change the conversation. We kept bringing it back around. Almost a half hour probably, wasn't it, Carol? Because she couldn't find me in the store, you know. Took a half hour and then finally, I at least got a smile on his face. You know, because every time he said, boy, I'd do anything for I would die for, I said, I know someone already died for you. That's Jesus. Look at me. I said, I'm different. I'm different than I was in school. I'm not that crazy. Well, I might be that crazy. I'm a different crazy now, I guess I was trying to say, you know. Now, he left our conversation, didn't give his life to Jesus, but the invitation of coming. It might come sometime. But it must have, yes, amen, brother. But it took a half hour of my time, which isn't my time. Whose time is it? It's Jesus. Remember I got born again? And I just felt so awesome. Because, guys, and you all experienced, and if you haven't experienced it, he'll do it. The Holy Spirit just kept feeding me how to bring it back around, how to bring it back around, how to bring it back around. And someday I might not see him in this church, but we'll see him somewhere in the church. And while I was speaking to him, the phone rang. It was a girlfriend from prison. What are you doing? She must have done. He said, oh, I'm saying, talking Starkey. Oh, Tom, I said hi. But again, just the investment that time there. He's somebody's son. You know, someone's daddy. And I got to share that like someone did to me 22 years ago. You know? So that's what we do, you know? So don't ever be afraid of it. And you think, wow, how can he ever use me? Just be open to him, and he'll show you the things to do. It might just be pushing a cart back for somebody from Bueller's or something. You know, just something that the love that Christ has in you, he wants to share with the world. But one thing, Rick, that I want to share with you, if you don't mind, and if you do mind. I'm going to share this again here, hon. If you want to sit down just a couple of minutes, because I never know how long I'll be. But I want to go to the book of Genesis for a moment. And I'm going to read this to you, chapter 1, verse 9 to 13. That's the presence of the Lord today, guys. Genesis 1. Let me turn the lights on. Genesis 1, verse 9 is talking about creation. And God said, "Let the waters below the heavens be gathered to one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth," say that out loud. God said, "Let the earth." He said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees, on the earth bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation. The earth heard God speak. It didn't have a choice. It brought forth vegetation. It brought forth fruit and plants of their own kind to reproduce themselves. And God saw and it was good. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. I've been on my heart again this week. We share it Friday night. God spoke to this earth. Alright, give me a tree and give me some carrots here. And it responded to God. Think of that. How many of you plant gardens, flowers? I mean, can you imagine walking out in your yard and say, "Hey, dandelions," not dandelions, daisies come forth, and boom, we get all these daisies up there and stuff, you know, and peach tree come forth. I mean, wow. But your God, your Creator, the one who formed us in His image, spoke to this stuff here and said, "Let there be vegetation." And He responded to it. Then God took the same stuff He spoke to, and obeyed Him, and He made you out of it. This is you. This is our, yeah. God ever changed? Is he not still the same? So what did God do to the dirt? He spoke to it. Now, did he want trees to grow and say, let there be cantaloupe? No. Did he speak what he wanted? Yeah, amen. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else you'd... I mean, God would say, bring forth flowers and trees and Martians. There be Martians. And don't leave here thinking they're Martians, okay? But see how powerful God's word is? That's why God cannot lie. Because whatever he says is going to take place. So, if God did not want trees, he should never spoke trees, right? Right, exactly. I mean, if you want to grow corn this year, would you go out and plant soybean if you want corn? And then go out there for a harvest for corn this fall? No. You plant exactly what you could do, exactly what you would want the ground to produce. Now, I planted many gardens in my time and harvest nothing, okay? But it wasn't the seed's problem. I have a habit of planting stuff, getting busy, next thing you know, I get the beautiful weeds. Okay? And the weeds come and it chokes it out. But the seed did exactly what God created it to do, and that was produce something. Amen. Amen. So, taking that thought, taking what God has done to the earth when he spoke to it, and that your body is made out of the same substance, when you speak about your body, are you speaking about what you want or what you have? Think about that a second. I'm trying to show you this morning, God's trying to show you how powerful your words are. Understand, he's come along planting his word into you, and then you turn around and speak the things of the world, and you're destroying the crop. Now, God's word is life. In fact, John 10:10, he warns that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's the one that comes to lies to you, right? He's the one that's afraid of you. Because he knows that God's got a plan for you. But Jesus said, I come to give you life and give it more abundantly. And Jesus is the living word of God. Understand that. He is the living word of God. So if he come to give me life, give it more abundantly, where am I going to find that life at? I'm going to find it in the word of God. How am I going to let it take place? I'm going to grab a hold of that. I'm going to speak that word out. No care how crazy it sounds like. I'm going to speak that word out. I'm going to speak to my body. Let God's word do what it's going to do. It has to respond. It's nothing you can say, oh, I'm going to try real hard. I'm going to speak out this time. Having faith. And I know a lot of times we don't understand how things work, but I'm going to tell you right now that God does not give anybody sickness and disease. Throw that stinking thought out the window. That's a lie from the devil. Because if we think that God gives us sickness and disease, okay, hang on, if you think he gives it to you, then you're going against God when you go get a cure. Well, I hope God will heal me if it be his will. Okay? If that's where you stand at, then why do you go to the doctor? Why do you seek medical advice? See, in reality, we don't really believe that. Most of us don't. We don't understand it. Yeah. We live in a fallen world, folks. Sickness and disease out there. It's everywhere, you know? Because the earth has fallen. It's corrupted. We've been redeemed, okay? But your body is still made out of what God created this earth out of, what he spoke to it. And speaking the word of God into your situation, and speaking the word of God, the body line up here. I do it all the time. Now, don't hear me wrong. Go to your doctors. Amen? I mean, I pay for wisdom by doctors all the time. Because, you know, God works through a lot of different hands. When we say we're His hands, His feet, His mouth, well, I might use these to prepare my message. Fred might use his to prepare supper. You know what I'm saying? And a doctor might use it to prepare. Amen? Follow me on that part of it? But when we take the Word of God and we talk to ourselves and we make it say, listen, body, you don't have the Word of God. Proverbs, I think it's 12:18. I want to show you something here. Well, I don't. God does. I think, let me see here. Yeah, Proverbs 18, 12, verse 18. It says, there is one who speaks rashly, like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So what he's saying there is that there's those who they speak the problem, and those who speak the solution. Put it that way. Okay. There's nothing wrong with sharing with somebody how you feel. Amen. If we didn't do that, who would ever pray for it? You know. So we want to, you know, share. Listen to the doctor, but the Word of God spoken is so powerful. I speak to my body all the time. Carol speaks to hers. We speak the Word of God out. You know? Proverbs 12:18. Go something like this, like a confession type deal. I don't know if you guys ever hear of Charles Capps. He's with the Lord now, but he's a fantastic pastor, minister. I think he was 88 years old when he went to meet Jesus. And on a Friday night, the Lord spoke to him and said, Sunday, I'm bringing you home. And he told his wife and his kids, I'm going home Sunday. And Sunday morning, he went to heaven, you know. And he farmed for 30-some years before he got called into ministry. And I remember he used to talk about how people would come to him surprised that he preached the Word of God driving a John Deere tractor. He said, well, yeah, farmers, and we plant seeds and stuff. But confession be like this. And if you need healing this morning in your body, just speak this out behind me, all right? I mean, not behind me, but after I do. Okay. So, you say, body, I speak the word of faith to you. I demand that every organ perform a perfect work. For you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and by the authority of His holy word, to be healed and made whole in Jesus' name. Now, those are not magic words. Those are words spoken in faith. God, I don't know how you do it. How can that make a difference? Well, I want to ask you something. How can speaking to dirt make a difference? Because inside of you, if you're a born-again believer, the Spirit of the living God lives in you. The same Spirit that spoke these words out is living in you. And when you speak the Word of God out, your body has to respond to it. It has no choice. But the devil will come along quickly and try to steal that from you. Rob it from you. Don't let him do it. Devil's a liar. So get behind me, Satan. I'm a child of God. You get your hands off me. And your worship, God, he did this morning. He sat here in the presence of the Lord and soaked up his presence. I mean, in the presence of God is healing, restoration, and strength. Chuck, you ever grease up your machinery? Farm machinery, Ned, do you? Now, do you grease that machinery up because you want to let it sit there for 20 years and look at it? Or do you grease it up because you want to use it again and again and again? Amen? You want to use it again and again and again, right? That's with us. God greases us up, put it that way, with His Word to keep us going to use us here. Now, if you're going to quit farming, Ned, and you got this great big corn picker thing, whatever, you borrow it from Chuck, okay? No. And you know, hey, I'm done farming. I'm going to retire. I'm going to the Bahamas. Oh, I'm telling you what. Would you leave that thing sit in the field and rust away, or would you sell it? You would probably sell it, I would say. Because I know they're probably up to $400,000 or $500,000 now for one of the things. You would sell it. Boom. Because you're not going to use it anymore. Kind of like us. We have a purpose from God Almighty called upon this earth. We surrender our life to Him. Boom. Every day that He has planned for you goes into existence. Think of that. How many days do I have? I have no idea. But I follow Him. I'll live out every day. And the second I leave this earth, I'm going to my reward. But until then, I keep greasing this body up, if I put it that way, by speaking the word of God over me. Sick and disease, you have no part of me. But you're sick. I know, but you don't have no part of me. I'm not going to claim that thing. He says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. So that means weapons will come against us, but we stand on the word of God. We speak that word out. That's how powerful this is. You know? I don't know what you got going on in your world today. But God's scripture is there to help you. To speak that out for yourself and one another. That's one reason it says don't stop the assembling of oneself together. Because you might have an awesome day today. Maybe your life is perfect. But the person sitting beside you right now is falling apart. And you need to come together in agreement with prayer. And speak against that thing in the name of Jesus. Satan will try to bind you up. He'll bring that spirit of depression over you. He'll try to bring that spirit of suicide over you. You name it, he'll try everything. He'll lie to you and lie to you and lie to you. But remember, what you have received through Christ is a free gift of salvation. You can't earn it. You freely receive it. Then you allow His Word and His presence in your life to change you. You still have that free will, though. Understand that. You know, when that doorbell rings, I walk out there, there's a dozen donuts waiting for me. I have a free will. Say, nope. Going down the road, you know. Going down there. Go down about a mile and a half through the miles. Give them to them, okay? If I have chosen to follow Him, if I've chosen to be on a diet, He'll give me every opportunity to overcome them temptations. Amen? Now, if I grab a donut, eat it, what do? I start over again. And I'm going to do it again. I'm not going to give up. Okay? But that voice, I would learn after a while. That doorbell ring, I look out there and I see Krispy Kreme's van out there, you know. Not even answer the door. Because if you ever walked in their shop before and smelled them babies cooking, oh my, I tell you what. But the Holy Spirit will give me the strength to overcome that. Whatever in your life right now, confess it to the Lord and just cry out to Him. God, I need help. He's there. Lord, help me. I got myself in this mess again. And He will tell you exactly right then what to do. You might not like what He told you, but He's there to help you. Yield yourself to Him. And don't compromise. Get rid of that compromise stuff. Ooh, man. It's in trouble, don't it? And that compromise don't have to be a sin you're stepping in. It could be going around an acquaintance that you shouldn't be going around. Then that will foster into the old days, and then sin will develop, and then you're right back where you're at. So we need to learn to be set free, and Jesus is all I need. There's a song we sing, Jesus is all I need. He truly is. Jesus. And the Jesus and one another coming together. Amen. Praise God. That's awesome. But we're going to break bread. We're going to remember what Christ done for us. That He took our death. Because of that, we will never, ever have to die. We're going to exit these machinery when we're done with it. And be in the presence of the living God. So. Amen. Amen.